It's easier to live what you believe if you know what it is that you believe. And so each time we worship at Daleville Christian Church, we affirm our faith as we read it in God's Word, the Bible. This reading from 1 John, the second chapter. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The reading of God's Word today is from John's Gospel in the 12th chapter, verses 20 through 27. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We are grateful at Daleville Christian Church that we are able to place the sermons on the website for you to hear. At the same time, as we pray that these encourage you and help you and build you up in faith, we would ask that you be in attendance in a worship service that serves our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Find one, get to one. If you would be in our area, you're welcome to come here to Daleville Christian Church. Worship is at 9:30 on Sundays. But be in worship somewhere. Give praise to our God. There is a statement that I make in all the funerals that I'm asked to do. I don't know if people hear this statement. I intend it to lead to questions. And I know that most people at funerals have any number of other things on their minds. But in the possibility that this statement will be heard, I put it out there. And the statement is worthy of an entire message, which is why I bring it up to you today. The statement I make is this: God loves us more than we realize. The Lord wants to be with us, even for those who are not sure they want to be with God. This is the love of God. I want to say that again. The Lord wants to be with us, even for those who are not sure that they want to be with God. That is the love of God. God loves us more than we realize. That should bring out some questions from most anyone. If you happen to have glanced at the sermon notes from last week, you know that I've been reading a book by Todd Burpo, Father of the Little Boy Who Went to Heaven. Todd Burpo is a bivocational pastor in Nebraska. In his book, he notes that everyone, or most everyone, claims that they want to go to heaven, but very few people claim they want to be in God's presence. And yet, observes Pastor Burpo, that is what heaven is, to be in God's presence. Hell is the absence of God. Everyone Everyone claims they want to go to heaven, but very few people claim they want to be in God's presence. And yet, observes Pastor Burpo, that is what heaven is. As I have stated, the Lord wants to be with us even for those who are not sure they want to be with God. I claim that. Doesn't the Bible speak of that? Yes, it does. In Jesus, we see God being with people who are not sure that they want to be with God. Let's take a look at some of those people and their encounters with Jesus. The Bible reading for today is from John's Gospel. I won't be focusing on this passage of Scripture, but it does provide the springboard to explaining several other Scriptures that we will be focusing on. Some scholars claim that this passage in chapter 12 of John's Gospel is the climax of John's Gospel. Remember in high school English or literature class having to find the climax of a story? Well, don't worry, I wasn't very good at it either. That's why I read other people's opinions. But as the climax of the book, some scholars claim that this is where John's Gospel is leading, that the whole book is pointing to these verses in chapter 12, almost 20 chapters before the book is completed. The climax, some claim, is verses 20 and 21. There were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. John's Gospel and the letters of John claim that Jesus is going to die for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus had told Nicodemus, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, emphasis on whoever, Jew or Greek, which was a shocking inclusion for Jesus' people, especially Pharisees like Nicodemus, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Emphasis, God sent his Son into the world to save the world through him. The whole world, Jews and Gentiles. Jesus came to us for Jesus' people, and Jesus came to us for everyone else. And we know that. And we know that means that Jesus came for us. Praise the Lord. Because we are everyone else that Jesus came for. I would remind you, we are not Jews. We are Gentiles. Our people fought the Jews throughout antiquity, and in World War II, it was white Europeans who tried to wipe out the Jews of Europe. Jesus came to save Jews and Gentiles. Jesus came, as Jesus said, Jesus was sent for the possibility of saving the whole world. Jesus said that knowing that some folks, when the light had come, people, some would always prefer the darkness. But the offer remains the same. The offer remains the same. The offer is open. The offer is always open. Because there is no darkness that can put out the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So Jesus came for his people, and Jesus came for foreigners, and that includes you and me. There are two other reports in the gospel, in both Matthew and other gospels, and we look at Matthew, a very Jewish book, and I decided it would simply be easier to read the scholar's translation of that passage and note the emphasis that are present in the Greek that we so often miss in the English. The first passage we will consider is Matthew chapter 8, the healing of the Roman captain's slave. When Jesus had entered the town of Capernaum, which you will recall is a town with a garrison of Roman soldiers of the Roman army, they have a post there. An army captain of the Roman army came to Jesus asking for help. "Sir," he said, "my slave lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "You want me, a Jew, to come and heal him? Shall I come to your place and heal him?" The captain replied, "Sir, I would not presume to have you come to his sick bed at my house. You need only to say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man that has authority, and although I am under orders, I can make things happen at my command on my orders. I tell a soldier, go, and he goes, and another soldier, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And so it is with you." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found any person among the Jews with such faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And then Jesus said to the army captain, "Go, let it be done just because you believed it would be done." And his servant was healed at that very minute. Jesus looked for faith in his people, the Jews. Jesus looked for faith within his people, the Jews. And Jesus looked for faith in foreigners. You might recall that Jesus was not always well received in Capernaum, so it wasn't a hotbed of faith, but this foreigner Jesus also served because of faith in Jesus and because of that army captain's faith in Jesus' word. Jesus came for the Jews, his own people, and Jesus came for the foreigners also. One more report that makes this very, very clear. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." These cities are not in Israel. They're not in Judea. Those cities are pagan cities. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity. Some versions say Syrophoenician. And that's what I like to say. Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus. The woman is a pagan, living among pagans. Syria, Phoenicians, Canaanites. And it says that she came to Jesus. She came crying out, "Lord, Son of David." She calls Jesus by his Messiah title, Son of David, Messiah of the God of the Jews, not her gods, Messiah of the God of the Jews. And she pleads for mercy, especially for her daughter who is possessed by a demon and is suffering. I preached on this a while back, so let's be brief. The pagan woman acknowledges the priority that Jesus gives to Jesus' people, but claims that all may be blessed through the Jews, in which she is quite right. Read Genesis chapter 12. And Jesus' words to that pagan woman, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed at that moment. The woman had faith in the God of Israel's promise. Faith that Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise. And faith that the God of Israel's Messiah would bless her and have mercy upon her. And the Bible reports that the daughter was healed at that moment. This pagan woman had never been to Jerusalem. This pagan woman had never been to synagogue. This pagan woman would she even be able to read the Bible? It's in Hebrew. Hebrew, not her native language. Why does Matthew report this? What Matthew's trying to do with this report is guide the church of Jesus, even his Jewish congregation. This is not just a nice story with a good ending, simply for church people to say, yeah, that Jesus was really something. Jesus was special. Wish I could have been there. No. Matthew is directing the church. Look what Jesus did. He went to a pagan land, to pagan cities, and he listened to what a pagan woman said to him. He listened to what a pagan woman asked of him, crying out for mercy to the Messiah, to the Jews. The early churches did remember and were told to remember that when Jesus upset the tables of the money changers, Jesus cried out, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer." The phrase is from the prophet Isaiah, and Mark's gospel puts the whole quote in with Jesus asking, "Is it not written?" And it certainly is in Isaiah chapter 56. "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations?" All nations. All of them. All may come to seek the true God. Not only should the temple of the living God welcome all who seek the Lord, Jesus is proof that God has come to gather all the nation's people to the living God by sending Jesus, God's Son, our Savior, our Messiah, for us, sending them to us, we who are foreigners. Jesus has come for us all. Jesus has come for us all, and I emphasize all, which means that Jesus came for you and me, but Jesus didn't come just for you and me. We are beloved by God. We are worthy of Jesus' salvation because God demonstrated that. But so is everyone else beloved by God, and so is everyone else worthy of Jesus' salvation because God says so. Let me tell you a humorous true story. A young woman had a first date with a young man who would eventually become her husband. Mother asked the high school girl after the first date, "What did you think of him?" And the young woman answered her mother saying, "He's okay, but he's not good boyfriend material." Those two eventually married, have been married for 18 years and have three lovely children. But her first thought about this young man, he is not good boyfriend material. I tell that story, which is true, because this is where many churches are and many of us are. When we look around at other people, we feel that a lot of people are not good church people material. And that's odd because churches have the same attitude about many pastors. Not good pastor material. When in fact, when you read the Bible, most apostles are not good pastor material. Paul persecuted the church. Peter denied Jesus. They all ran away from Jesus in his hour of need. What church would hire pastors like those? None of them would, but they were all apostles. Not good pastor material. But Jesus thought otherwise, and they became the apostles. You might be surprised that I've never considered myself good pastor material. Fortunately for you, I don't do things based on my own judgment. And neither should we share the good news based on our judgment. God's judgment is what matters. God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. You know, the Bible tells us of a man who did not want to proclaim repentance to a whole city. His name was Jonah. You can read the book that carries his name in the Bible. And most of us know what happened to him. And strangely, Jonah did not want to proclaim repentance to that city because he didn't want God to have mercy on that city. Jonah didn't think Nineveh was worth saving. Jonah didn't think that the people of Nineveh were good material for salvation. Jonah knew God would forgive them, and Jonah didn't like it. Jonah was wrong. We are not called to be like Jonah. We are called to be like Jesus. Jesus said, "Come to me all." The family of God we so often sing about is much larger than you and I imagine. In what several authors claim is the climactic event in Jesus' life, when the Greeks show up, the foreigners, the pagans show up and say, "We want to see Jesus." Jesus reminds those with him, people will come from north and east and south and west, not just in Israel, but for those people outside of Israel, people like you and me. Jesus has come to save us. Jesus has come to save all. Jesus has come to save the world. Jesus said, "Come to me all." Amen.